Welcome to Conestoga 10, podcast number 5 for April the 11th, 2006. Conestoga is Oklahoma's largest literary science fiction and fantasy convention. It will be held July 28th through the 30th, 2006 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We are celebrating 10 years of Conestoga, Misha Merlin Publishing, and Yard Dog Press. In our fifth program, we bring you Selena Rosen and Lynn Stranathan of Yard Dog Press, one of our 10-year anniversary co-celebrants. I thought about writing a longer introduction for this podcast, but decided it wasn't necessary. As the Klingon proverb says, revenge is a dish best served cold, so I think I'll let the interview speak for itself. Well, today we have a special treat. Selena Rosen and Lynn Stranahan of Yard Dog Press join us for an interview about Yard Dog Press and their celebrations with Conestoga coming up, because Yard Dog Press will be 10 years old. And I'd like to thank both of you for joining us today.
Thank you, Chris, for having us.
I think I'm going to lose control of this conversation fairly soon, but I'll try to keep it on track as much as I can. So this podcast is going to be a little different than a lot of the others, and that's the way we like it.
As people are too stuck up, see, that's the problem.
So, Lynn, tell us a little bit about... tell us a little... Well, you need to hear Lynn's lovely voice in this podcast.
Yes, she does have a lovely voice.
So...
She's a suck-up, too.
What I would like to do is ask you, how did Yard Dog Press get started? And who would like to go first?
Oh, my goodness. That's Selena's story, how Yard Dog Press got started.
Well, it's like when Bran Whitlock and I... We're best friends for a bazillion years, still are very good friends, and he and I were sitting around, we're kicking around shit ideas. We started talking about doing some kind of comic book a bazillion years ago, and we were like, we'd kick around ideas, and about the time when we were actually ready to sit down and do something, Davey D and Bill Allen started Iguana Informer, and so it was like, we'll just get on board with them. So we played with Iguana Informer for a few years, and then when Iguana Informer went, they decided they didn't want to do it anymore. Basically, we just said, okay, now's the time to do what we were going to do. And we started out with Yard Dog Comics, and we did three or four little weird off-the-wall comic strips, and we would do a short story in every episode, and I would do an editorial and all that. And then we changed it to a magazine format, and then the first thing that happened was kind of grew like Topsy, because it was like we were talking to friends, and they were like, I think... that you should do chapbooks. You should really do chapbooks. Everybody's doing chapbooks. And for you people that don't know what a chapbook is, it's a little staple back bound book. It's between 15 and 20,000 words. It can be a collection of short stories. It can be a short, a novella. But anyway, so people were saying, you should do chapbooks. You should really do chapbooks because you're already doing comic books. Comic books are basically in the same form, and you could do chapbooks. So we started doing, we did a couple of chapbooks. And then it just kind of said, we could do full-length novels. We could do full-length novels, but we could comb-bind them so they wouldn't cost very much. So we did a few comb-bound novels, and those did okay. And then we were like, this is a lot of problem to put these goddamn comb-bound books together. We should just go ahead and do perfect-bound novels. You should do perfect-bound novels. And they keep talking. And before we knew it, we were doing all the perfect-bound books, and we were still doing the chapbooks, and we were doing... murder games and card games and t-shirts and hats. And it's like, it really kind of just spiraled completely out of control. And I have no idea what we're doing at this point. I just do what I'm told when I'm told to do it.
Speaking of doing what you're told, what are your respective roles in your publishing business?
Selena's the boss, and I'm the one who makes it happen. I mean, she says, make this so. And so I do it.
I sit around on my ass and eat potato chips and watch television is basically what she's saying.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying.
No. So what are some of the things that you do?
That I do?
Yes.
Well, after Selena has gone through the horrendous slush pile and has decided slush piles,
there's usually two or three different slush piles, yes. One for the anthology I'm looking at and one for the chapbooks and one for novels. So it's usually three of them going on all the time.
So when she's gone through them and she's made a choice, then I'm the one who sends out contracts and stuff like that. And then I'm the one usually who sets up the format. I usually do the interior landscaping. Then Selena has a final say-so on the way it looks, and we send out for... galleys.
I assign the cover art to different cover yes. artists, and I set up who's going to blurb and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And Lynn does basically all the mechanical stuff.
Exactly.
And I do all the dealing with all the egos.
Yes, exactly. And she also writes all the rejection letters. I've never had to write one of those, thank God.
Well, I think Selene is very well qualified to deal with egos. So,
even though I have none of my own.
Mm-hmm. So what is so special about Yard Dog Press, and what are some of the markets that you're trying to reach?
You want me to answer
Yeah,
that?
Go for it.
Well, okay, first I'll answer the first one. I think that the only thing that really makes Yard Dog Press so special is the actual group that we have, the writers and the artists, and how they – it's really more like a community of writers than it is an actual publishing house. Yeah, we publish books, and yes, we put out, you know, what I think are spectacular books and chapbooks and anthologies. But we also have a community of writers that support one another. I mean,
and artists, don't
there's
forget the
not
artists.
A whole lot of competitive crap going on in our house. There's not a whole lot of politics going on. Everybody more or less gets along with each other, try to help each other out. So I think that's what makes us special. And then, of course, there's the kind of books that we publish, which is I try to stick to things that are actually entertaining. I'm not ashamed of being in the entertainment industry. I think most of us that the golden age of science fiction was in the late 50s, early 60s. That's when most people were reading and most of us were getting hooked. You know, the baby boomers were the big readers when we were younger. And I think the baby boomers still want to read the same kind of fiction they were reading back then. Maybe like not so much the pulp stuff, but they still want action, adventure. They want heroes and heroines that they can believe in, causes they can believe in. They're tired of this angst-ridden New York bullshit. And that's not what we publish. You know, we publish stuff that's more geared towards people that actually work for a living, you know, and things that are fun. We do a lot of stuff that's just comedy, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, speaking of comedy and anthologies, Bubba's. Tell me about Bubba's.
Bubba's of the Apocalypse. Bubba's of the Apocalypse, of all the things we've done, we've had Stoker Award-winning novels. We've had novels done by fairly, you know, well-known authors that are very, you know, hard-hitting and very, you know, very important novels. And the thing that sells the most across the board is Bubba's of the Apocalypse. Bubba's of the Apocalypse was born. A bunch of us were sitting around. I had done a collection of my short fiction through the house called The Bubba Chronicles. And it was selling. It was flying off the shelves. And it was getting really good reaction from the people. And, you know, we were all sitting around. Keith Burdack, Bill Allen, myself, couple other people, Gary Jonas, I think, was there. We were all sitting around in a lobby, a hotel lobby, bullshitting. And I believe it was at Conestoga. So talk about coming full circle. I believe it was at Conestoga. We're sitting around the lobby, we're bullshitting, and we were, you know, just thinking back and forth and said, we should do something with Bubba's. We should really do something with Bubba's because I think now's the time to do it, and I think we'd really do well. And we were throwing concepts around and ideas around, and all of a sudden, it was like a light bulb went off in my head, and I said, Bubba's of the Apocalypse. It's a shared universe anthology. And right there in the lobby of the hotel at Conestoga, the idea was born. And then it festered. I mean, it grew. And it became the phenomenon it is today. We've now done Bubba's of the Apocalypse, the four Bubba's of the Apocalypse, you know, halitosis,
flatulence,
halitosis, incest, and Ned. And we just came out with IHOB, International House of Bubba's. And the one I'm reading for right now is Houston, We've Got Bubba's, which will be more science fiction oriented. But it escalated. We now have a Bubba's of the Apocalypse card game. We have a Bubba's of the Apocalypse murder game. When we do our big party at Conestoga, I asked the writers, it's like, okay, we're going to do the party in the con suite at Conestoga. It's going to be huge. It's going to be big. Now, do we want to do something really classy, like 10 years of Yard Dog Press that shows from our meager beginnings up to the huge catalyst of micropressdom that we are today? Or do we want to do a Bubba's of the Apocalypse theme? And it was like, before I knew it, everybody's saying, hey, I know what we can serve. We can serve Slim Jims, and we can serve jerky, and we can have barbecue sauce, and we can... And so it became the Bubba's of the Apocalypse party. So there's no stopping the Bubba's of the Apocalypse craze at this point. I keep thinking at some point people will get tired of it and quit wanting to do it, but so far that hasn't happened. And so far, every anthology I've edited, totally different batch of stories. Totally. I mean, it's, you know, so it's great. And it makes us a lot of money.
Yes.
And money's almost never bad.
Yeah, money's definitely a good thing. And I must say that Selena is definitely a force to be reckoned with at conventions. In recent years, she's been active participant in the Conestoga play. Now, how did you get roped into that?
You know how, Chris. Because they said they were tired of me sitting in the audience and heckling them. So they made me part of the Penguin Playhouse players because they were tired of me sitting in the audience and heckling them. So what? Now I just stand backstage and heckle them in between my scenes. But I love my role. My recurring role of asinine basewalker is my favorite.
And I guess we can expect you to be in the upcoming play as well.
You know, they haven't asked me yet, but they usually wait 15 minutes before we're supposed to go on and say, here's a script. And I realize you have 40 billion things to do at the convention, but you can do this too. Yeah, you know, because you do that too, Chris. The yeah. Bad, evil Penguin Playhouse players. We kick some major ass. You know, we should be on Broadway.
Yeah. And we'll be hearing more from the Penguin Playhouse players because I've already approached them about maybe doing an intro play to kind of tease it to get people to come. Now, you mentioned something about the celebrations, you know, Bubba's of the Apocalypse. What are some of the other things you plan on doing at the at your 10-year celebration?
For the 10-year celebration, at the party, we'll be doing door prizes for the at the party. We'll be doing prizes at the table for people that buy books. We'll be immediately put in a drawing. We hope to do a drawing. What if we decide one every 2 hours where they'll win some Yard Dog Press product? We're bringing in, you know, a lot of our authors are going to be there. I mean, not that they're not normally a lot of Yard Dog Press authors at Conestoga, but there'll be even more than there usually is. And we'll be doing the big, big, very big Yard Dog Press traveling roadshow
yes.
for Conestoga. Yeah,
we're going to talk about the roadshow in a second, but I wanted to ask Lynn another question here. Now, you know, Selena tends to be in the limelight. You get to spend most of your time in the dealer's room.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I am totally lost without my table.
Well, if she doesn't have a table, she's hooking, so that's not right.
And this is where they can find all your wonderful publications?
All the Yard Dog Press publications will be there, and some of the others from our writers have publications with other publishing houses, and we encourage them, if they're not elsewhere on the floor, to bring them to our table. So sometimes people get a little confused. They see the publications elsewhere, and they're like, well, but I thought that was, yeah, it is, but it's by one of our writers, so it's right here.
And we'll also be doing all day long in the dealer's room every day during the entire convention. Our writers will be taking turns sitting in the dealer's room behind a table where they will be happy to sign autographs, tell you about their work, talk to you at length. And if they don't, we're going to wrap them in the head with a pin.
I want to watch.
A bowling pin.
A bowling pin.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, we'll have to get the camera for that. So tell me about the Traveling Roadshow. How did that come about? How did that evolve?
That, you know, nothing in Yard Dog Press is ever easy. It's always one of those things that kind of grows like topsy. We were sitting around, and I was trying to think of something because we now have so many authors that work for us and that will travel the different convention circuit with us, but it's sometimes hard for concoms to find room for all of them to do something. And so we got to talking about it, and we talked some of the concoms into letting us do something where we could do readings together, where we would just have people do short readings, and that was what we were going to do. And then somebody said, you know what? We should do, like, a road show where, you know, they don't always just read. Sometimes they juggle, or they tell stories, or they do a comedy routine, or they do magic, or they sing, or something like that. Because we have some very talented people that work for us, and they're not just, you know, artists and authors. And they also have all this stuff. No, so we're talking about that. We're mulling it over. We're thinking about it. And then one day we were going to do readings, of course. That was the main thing. We're going to do short, funny readings. And so I was at a reading the first time we were going to do the roadshow. The night before that, Melanie Fletcher was doing a reading at one of the room parties because there was a launch for a anthology that she had just had a story in. So she was doing a reading in this room. And Sherry Dean was sitting behind Melanie, and she was pantomiming everything that Melanie said. So the next day we go to do the road show. Everything's going pretty well, but then I noticed that people are starting to lose interest in just sitting around and listening to reading. And we're not got enough acts, really, to keep the road show going. And then so I make Sherry Dean get up and do interpretive dance to all the stuff that people are saying. And it was such a huge success. We started with a room of like 10 people watching us, And when the time we got done, which was about an hour and a half later, by the time we finished, we had about 40 people packed in that room, and there was literally people standing in the halls. So that's what we do now. We do some acts. Some of the girls will get in and belly dance. Some of them, sometimes people will sing. Sometimes people will juggle. They do magic acts. But mostly what it is we do these little short, funny readings, and the girls do interpretive dance.
Well, that's cool. I saw one of your shows recently, and you even had a halftime show with dancers. Thankfully, yes. There was no wardrobe malfunction.
I've been trying for that, too, but they won't do it.
And, Selena, you're being sexist here. It's not just the girls doing the dancing.
No, the boys do the
dancing,
too.
Yeah, we've had several roles.
Matt Reardon. Am I saying his name?
No.
Reiten. Matt Reiten is fantastic interpretive dancer. David Lee Anderson is something else. Brian Hopkins, Bill Allen. The boys are just as good, sometimes better than the girls. And so, this weekend at this particular convention we're at right now, Sherwood Smith got up and did some interpretive dance. Hell, she knocked everybody else out of the ring. She was fantastic. And she's not even one of our writers. So it's contagious. The idiocy is contagious.
I can definitely attest to that after having seen one of the road shows. Now, Selena, we're going to talk about a little bit something else. Now, this isn't your first podcast. You've actually appeared on some other podcasts. I believe you've appeared on Michael and Evo's Winging It.
Yes.
How did you get involved in that?
Well, I did an interview for them at WesterCon, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago. And then about 6 months after that, or it might have been a little bit longer, they got in touch with me and they said, hey, you know what? We've been reading your Bitch of the Day page on your webpage, and we think that would make a really good radio show. And so, you know, we'd like you to tape some of those for us. And so then, you know, they set me up and so that I tape those. That's what I do. And it's basically just a bitch. And they call it From the Yard. News from the Yard, I think, is what they call it. I've only heard one of them, so...
Well, I've heard two of them, and I understand you're a little bit behind. You owe them some more.
I think I'm like 3 months behind at this point. But you know what? In all fairness, they don't call up and bitch at me. So if they don't call up and bitch at me, how am I supposed to, you know, there's no incentive. I'm, you know, used to living with Lynn. When something needs to be done, I hear bitching, and then I do it. So it's their fault that it's not done. If they would get on the phone and bitch at me, it would get done.
What if they gave Lynn a little nudge? Would that help?
Oh, yeah, she's good at that. She's a natural.
Yes, I'm very good at nagging.
Yeah. That's because she teaches school.
Well, I think we've covered just about everything. We're going to be definitely looking forward to sharing the stage with Yard Dog Press, Misha Merlin, and Conestoga to celebrate all of our 10 years together.
Yes! Yes!
And I want to thank you both for coming here and or letting us interview here in this wonderful undisclosed location.
You mean our motel room?
Well, you now disclosed it.
So oh, damn it.
We may have to...
No, I don't mean our motel room. I mean a motel room somewhere. Undisclosed. As in, not with clothes. Or with clothes. I'm not sure what disclosed means. It might be with clothes, but it could be without. I'm not sure.
The end.
and so we close this...
Oh, you always wanted to do that.
And so we close this podcast because I knew that I would lose control of it. And this will be unlike any other podcast that's been done. So thank you for listening and thank you for joining me tonight.
Thank you. Thanks, Chris.
Lynn and Selena were a lot of fun to interview, and I hope that after hearing them, you'll understand why this coming Conestoga will be the best one yet and why you shouldn't miss it. We have more interviews on the way. Looking forward to seeing you all at Conestoga 10. For more information, our web address is www.sftulsa.org or send an email to conestoga@sftulsa.org. Thank you for listening.